1340-96.5 KVGC. As promised in the studio this morning with us, we have Amador County Office of Education Superintendent, Dr. Steve Russell, and we have Amador County Unified School District Superintendent, Dr. Amy Slavinsky. And I had to ask JD to step out because whenever a doctor comes to the station here, he always says, hey, I've got a bump on my head. And I tried to explain to him that you are not that type of doctors, but he, you know, he has a hard time with that sometimes. We're here today to talk about a landmark move.
Landmark, historic, something like
at
that.
At last week's school district meeting. Unfortunately, the story that we presented was just kind of half the story, wasn't actually the complete story. Steve, I'm going to ask you to get either closer or just move the microphone up so people can hear you. There we go. Dealing with special education. So who wants to lay the groundwork? Who wants to start? Amy, Steve?
I'll be happy to kick it off.
Okay.
Sure. First of all, thank you so much for letting us be here this morning. We appreciate it. Steve and I have been working together closely for a little over a year now around special education and other projects as well. And this one is very near and dear to both of our hearts for lots of reasons. We care very much about all of our students and want to make sure that they get what they need. And we also recognize that we've had some fiscal stuff that we've had to deal with. Mm-hmm. And so in working together and with the board's support, we put a study team together, a special education study team together. And they've been meeting in full-day sessions for several months. And finally, through a consensus-reaching process with some help from some fabulous external facilitators, we were able to bring from the study team a recommendation to the board, which they had asked for, some type of recommendation regarding the transfer of partial or complete special education program from the county office to the school district. And so that's kind of the backstory. That's the background. And it kind of culminated at the board meeting last week.
So let me ask you this. Steve, the county office of education traditionally has been handling special ed for what, the last 20 years or 10 years?
I think since the Tri-County consortium ended, it's been on the county side. But typically, county offices of education run the mild severe programs, not the mild moderate programs. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the reason for that, and the reason that I'm very supportive of moving mild to mod to the district side, is that you have a K-12 system, and kids with mild to moderate disabilities go to the schools, you know, in their neighborhoods. They have the same teachers, the same peers. They should be educated in those classrooms beside of their non-disabled peers and have the same opportunities. And by placing all the teachers, all the employees, and all the students in the same system is going to be beneficial for students to have inclusion.
So you're saying mild to mod. What do those terms mean?
Kids with learning disabilities in reading and math, kids who have severe ADHD, some students who have difficulty with sight or with hearing, those type of students.
Okay. And then, so it's mild, mod, or severe? And that would be what person would fall into that category?
The mod severe students are those who have intellectual disabilities, typically, or they have a combination of disabilities that causes them not to be able to be educated in gen ed classes.
Yeah. So when did you discover the system was broke? We've been running with it for how long now? When did it...
Well,
What all brought this up? I mean, why?
That's a great question.
That is a good question. I think that, I've been in California for 6 years, and I've taught here for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And in those 5 years, I looked at what we do in Amador County and compared it to what we did back east where most of my career was, and things were so different. And I just wanted to try to figure out why they were different, what was really good about it, and what we can continue to do and what we needed to change. Mm-hmm. And so even before I became superintendent, I was an advocate for making changes where kids can be in their classrooms. We have, 22%, 23% of our students are identified as special education. population, and the state average is 11 to 12%. The national average is 10 to 11%.
Yeah.
So something's happened in the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years that has exploded our special ed population. And what that does, if the students really need different types of support, not special education support, then they're going to get their needs. And what Amy has been working with is the MTSS, or the multi-tiered
systems of support. Right. So you asked the question a few minutes ago, what got us to here?
Yeah.
I think it's a very complex answer to that question. I think it's everything that Steve was just talking about. And I think it also has to do with making our general education classrooms stronger and stronger and stronger, equipping our teachers to have the resources and the support and the collaboration time that they need to intervene in their classrooms swiftly and quickly to meet individual students' needs. And for the past 10, 15, 20 years, that our teachers have not had that level of support that they have now through professional development and opportunities to work together and standards-aligned materials.
Is this a plan that maybe revolutionize special ed throughout the state, or are other districts using this?
I think we're just catching up. I think a lot of the rest of the state does it differently. Our goal is to work collaboratively with MTSS to support all students, and having the mild to moderate students in these classes with the same teachers, with the same supports, is going to go a long way to helping us be where we need to be.
We're talking with the Amador County Office of Education Superintendent, Dr. Russell, and Amador County Unified School District Superintendent Slavinsky this morning here. Amy, explain to us, so how has it run? I'm not a parent of a special ed child. I can remember words of, mainstreaming. They're putting students in classes with the regular kids. So how does it work in our district? I don't want to be insensitive, but unfamiliar. How does this work?
Well, we have a requirement to serve our students in what they call the least restrictive environment possible. And the most restrictive environment would be pulling students out completely from the general education setting. And we don't want to do that if we don't have to. And we feel that over the years, there has been too much of separating our students with disabilities from their typically developing peers. And so with this study team effort and with this move, what we're also trying to accomplish is tearing down the silos, of gen ed, special ed, district, county, having everyone be able to come together under one system, as Steve said, under one schoolhouse roof, and be served together. And simultaneously, we're working on this MTSS work and really trying to better equip our teachers and our principals to lead this work at their sites so that all of our students can get the support that they need.
So again, my question, how has this worked in the past? Was a child tested? Did they not do well on a test, so now you go to special ed? How was that facilitated? How did we do it in the past?
I would say in the past, and I've been in public school education for over 3 decades now in multiple school districts, and I've seen it work in different ways in different school districts in California. And before the multi-tiered systems of support initiative in the state of California began, there was a tendency throughout the state, not just here, there was a tendency to send children out of the classroom. You know, if a general education teacher didn't know what to do to help a particular child, the student was sent out to this other classroom, to this other place, maybe even a different school, to get the support that that child needed. And now we have learned from research and studies and from what law is telling us also, that we need to better equip our general education teachers before students are even tested or identified for special education support. We have to help them, help the students right there in their classrooms over a period of time, check through monitoring to see if progress is happening. If progress is happening with that student, great, keep on, keep on. If progress is not happening over a period of time, with lots of effort and support in that general education classroom, then we want to test the student and check further to see if more support is
needed. So let's get down to the nuts and bolts of this. So county office has a transportation fleet, has employees.
Correct.
Has payroll, has cost. So are you going to sell your rolling fleet to the district? Are you going to give it to them? Are you going to continue to maintain it? Who's going to pay the fuel? Are you going to have to redo everyone's contract, all teachers, you know, okay. Well, how's that going to work?
There's several issues.
Because it seems like this is not going to just happen tomorrow. It seemed like it would take a while.
There's several issues working at the same time. For instance, the two teachers' unions are meeting all day today to work on building contracts that will take care of the needs of both groups. And so the teachers who are in special education who will be moving over are in a union called SEEK, or Special Educators of Amador County. And they're working with ACTA, which is Amador County Teachers Association, to come up with one contract. And when they do that, the teachers who are mild mod will be able to be hired by the district rather than the county.
Okay.
The service unions are doing the same thing, and that includes our teachers' aides, bus drivers, secretaries, you know, those type of employees.
So they will be hired by the district?
Correct.
You're saying, okay. Mm-hmm. So how does that add, funding? Do you shift the funds then that they were paid to the district? How do these people get paid? Are you putting that pressure on the district to come up with these extra funds?
Well, the way that we've worked as a singles, the district has had to give or pay for services that their students got through the county side. And so, what was it, Amy? $5 million roughly.
$5 to $6 million a year.
Yeah, you know,
right.
That the district gives the county to provide their services for
district
students.
Okay, so let's stop that. So I have a student at, a student here. He's deemed to be special ed in the Amador Unified School District. So he moves over to the County Office of Education under the auspice of that. But the district is still paying for this child.
So technically, all students who live in Amador County are students of the school district, of the district.
Because we only have one district.
One district. And the only way that a student becomes a, quote, county student is if they're spending a significant amount of time outside of the general education classroom, and they need significantly more supports in special education. So Steve mentioned 21-22% of our student population are currently identified as students with disabilities. That breaks down to about 600 district students and give or take about 200 county students at this time. And so we're serving all of them right now, and because the district has so many more students with IEPs or with disabilities, and because all of the employees who serve special education at this point in time, with the exception of one director, are County Office of Education employees, the district has to send money or pay money to the county to provide those services.
Steve, you said the state average was 10 to 11%?
Yes.
Is that what you said? Mm-hmm. And we're 22%?
Correct.
Why? Why? What? I mean, are we high in the? Is there anybody else in the state that's higher than us?
I think there's more than one reason why, but really, I believe it goes back to what I was talking about before around multi-tiered systems of support, and that we moved too quickly to assessing students and placing them in special education.
Gotcha.
In the past.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's become, you know, if you're a gen ed teacher, if you're a math teacher, an English teacher, you go to college and you learn how to teach math or English. Mm-hmm. And so when you get students in your classroom who need to have that same curriculum but they have difficulty learning, the easiest thing to do is move them out of your classroom and into a special ed classroom. Mm-hmm. And I think it was very genuine what's happened over a long period of time, where people think, oh, we can get this student can have a lot more help if we move him out of my classroom and into a special ed room. And so you have to look at, as a result of that, the number of students who have been referred to for assessment. And then that number, is extremely high. And then the way that we assess kids, there's always some gray area in assessment. You know, it's not just what their IQ is or something that's a very obvious disability in learning or reading. Sometimes it has to do just with how fast or how quickly they process information. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so our psychologists over time have used a model of a process, a processing model, dealing with how quickly they process information, auditory or visually, and they say, well, I think maybe this student would do better if they had these type of supports, and so let's qualify him for special ed. And I think what Amy and I are trying to do now is to have those type of supports happen in the classroom before they're even assessed for special ed, before they're you know, asked to look at different things. And in doing so, I think both of us agree, right, that if with these supports in place, our students, our special ed population is going to go down. It's going to become more like the norm for the state and the country.
Little by little, definitely.
Yeah, it won't be overnight.
So when do you hope to, next year, this all goes into effect? When?
Well, the other night, the board took action. There were actually three motions that were made, and they took action. The first two happening quickly, well, sort of quickly, effective July 1st, there will be a transfer of the transportation department, the classified and administrative staff that are related to the mild to moderate programs, the SELPA, which is the Special Education Local Planning Area, and the Administrative Unit. That taking effect July 1 of this year.
Hi, buddy. Jerry, get down.
And then also the other motion was by October 31st of this year, the transfer of the teachers who have mild to moderate credentials.
Will the students notice anything?
No, we don't think the students are going
to
notice
just be
anything,
transparent
really.
To students?
Really, the only change is going to be where these employees get their paychecks from.
Okay.
You know, and then gradually over time, you know, we'll work together and our schools will continue to do what they're already doing to make site-based decisions about strengthening their programs, closing achievement gaps, and implementing multi-tiered systems of support at the site level.
All right. So have you had buy-in from the special ed teachers? Are they excited about this? Are the general ed teachers excited about this?
I think there is there's a level of excitement, but I think there's also a level of apprehension because we haven't done it that way before. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, by
what you mean, people say we can't do this. We've never done this before. That's not the way we do it around here. What do you mean?
Well, it's been 23 years.
You haven't run across
since
that, have you?
Come on now. Tri-County SELPA disbanded. It's been 23 years of operating this way, and so change is hard.
Mm-hmm. An example of how change is difficult. In the 23 years since the SELPA came to Amador County, we've only had one SELPA board meeting, and that was this year. So, you know, things are going to change, and they're going to change significantly when I think the board takes more responsibility for special ed and starts holding, and they're scheduled for 8 meetings maybe or 12 meetings this year.
Yeah, something like that, yes.
And so they're going to become more involved. Sure. I shouldn't say more responsible, but they become more involved with special education.
So who would then be overseeing this? Both of you? You'd oversee this, Amy, as the county
district office.
District office. Right. But what will the county office be?
The county office will oversee the mod severe program.
Mod severe, and you'll have the
mild to moderate
mod
program.
Oh, okay.
Right,
gotcha.
Right. And we'll continue to work together because there's always overlap.
Okay.
And there's always projects that we have to work on jointly.
So basically what we're trying to do is put the student in the right learning environment.
Right,
where
with
they should
all
be.
The supports that they need. Right, exactly.
All right. Yeah. Are you excited?
I'm excited. All right. Think it's a good move, and I also think it's going to help us be a lot more efficient. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the transportation department a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
By consolidating the transportation department, our business services office will be super happy because we'll have a lot more efficiency and less duplication of work.
Steve, you happy?
I am. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. You're welcome. You kind of campaigned on something like this, didn't you, Steve?
Well, I campaigned on special education. You know, it's really near and dear to my heart, and I wanted it to be better and better and better.
Sure.
And when I'm long gone, I still want it to be better and better.
Yeah. Well, you two have both done a great job for the students. So, and congratulations to Jackson Elementary.
That
too.
Was very exciting. That was super exciting. They've been working very hard. I'm very, very proud of the whole Jackson Elementary team.
JD, we were talking when he was in at Jackson Elementary way back when. Gerald Herrick was the principal at that time, and they received, that was their first distinguished, J.D., when was it? 1952 or something like that? It was, no. It was 1990-something he was... they received that. So
that's great.
That's always a... They get a flag and a sign and a
flag and happy and lots of awards and accolades, right?
Right.
Exactly.
All right. Dr. Slavinsky, Dr. Russell, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
And keep us updated on this. And so the first mark is July, then the next is October.
Correct.
And then we really won't... It'll just be...
And we'll keep working together
from there on
to identify any further things that we need to take care of.
All right. Good deal. Guys, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.